Welcome to The Danger Room, a Marvel Crisis Protocol podcast focused on helping you to prepare for the opponents you are yet to face. We discuss strategy, tips, tricks, and things you should be considering to level up your gameplay. You can continue the conversation with us on our free Discord, and if you've been enjoying our podcast, please consider supporting us on Patreon if you're in a position to do so. Links will be in the show notes. This is a competitive-focused podcast, so bear in mind that our opinions are focused through that lens. Regular members include Jacob, Sploosh, Mike, and Chewie.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another week of the Danger Room. It's just Sploosh and I today. How you doing?
I'm good. Better than you. I know you're sick. Sorry to hear that.
But... yeah, I'm getting over being sick, rather. I feel much better. Earlier last week, no bueno. Like a fever.
Was it COVID?
I didn't test myself, but possibly, because I was on an airplane. And
yeah.
It was probably that.
Yeah, I actually for another game I play, I'm in like this guild, and one dude that I raid with, he got sick, then his entire family got sick, and it's awful. So it's going around.
Yeah, my parents seem to be doing fine right now, so
that's good.
It definitely didn't like stick with me. I felt like it was like 2 days after I got landed from the plane, and I was just like dead. So I don't know. Maybe I'd gotten it previously.
What, COVID?
Yeah.
I think I've had it like 3 times. So, but on one note, as I don't think we've ever mentioned it. I didn't get sick in any of the events we've gone to this year. I was just thinking about that, like how cool that is.
Yeah,
like,
I haven't either. Not even
like a cough or anything. NashCon and LVO, I got out of it squeaky clean. So that's cool.
Yeah, even the events last year didn't get sick.
Yeah, I've gone to many Magic tournaments, and this is like way before COVID, like years ago, and I would usually come out with something like a cold, a light fever, or something like that, usually. Just the con crud, as people say.
Oh, I would like to say that minis and wargamers are probably more civilized than Magic players.
Man, you never know, though. I had a dude sneezing and like had a fever in an X-Wing event, and I totally caught it, too. That also sucked.
I mean,
but yeah,
to put it in perspective, I was at an event this past weekend, and we'll get into that in a minute, but my dad was with me, and he was like, man, no, I didn't smell BO once, like, at the whole event. He's been to, like, Magic events and stuff with me before, and he knows what that's like.
Yeah, maybe. So I think I'm agreeing with you, actually. Magic events can get a little nuts with the stink and all that, and then... X-Wing's got to be like the gateway minis game because you don't have to paint or anything. So maybe that's what it is. I'm starting to turn around to your theory.
Yeah.
But yeah. You try not to touch your opponent's minis as well. Not for like any reason other than just like respect of like some guy put effort into painting something. So.
Yeah, I was just trying to grab the base.
You don't share tools or anything. X-Wing, you technically don't share, but. Like, there's a lot of, like, helping each other out with stuff that isn't as much necessary in this game. So, less cross-pollination, that would be the word.
I do let people move their own Malekith, though. If I'm throwing Malekith or something, I'm like, here's the tool, you move it.
You know what? I need to do that more, to be honest with you. Because I knocked over, like, 3 Malekiths at NashCon, so...
Yeah.
It's obviously not on purpose, but it's just that weird space thing where the base in your mind is this like space, right? That your hands know they can't like get into, but the wings just throw you off so that, or if you're kind of like lifting something and then it clips a piece of the wing,
yep.
it's tough. But anyway, so, talk about some events. We're going to hit your event, but I figure since we're on that topic, we can mention one of our guys, Sooner, did well. He got an invite to LVO, going 3-0 in his local area, playing Cabal and Syndicate. So I don't know how much we want to say about that, but I just know personally that I don't think that Sooner was like super loving the fact he was playing Cabal in Syndicate as much as he really wanted to get the W, and he felt like he doesn't want to play at a disadvantage by not taking something really strong.
Yeah, so I feel like Sooner's finally just come to how we view things, because he's been burned twice now this year.
Well, we should explain too, some people probably don't know him as well as we do. His general personality is to purposely play things that are a little less appreciated. He enjoys the exercise of taking things that people don't expect to do well with. And not to say even that he thinks these things are bad, it's just he feels like maybe things are unexplored. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, and he doesn't like to take like the obvious meta pick. He might just go like slightly off meta by a little bit. Yeah. But he's always usually playing something competitive.
Sure, and he'll take some, like, similar to me, he'll take like X-Men, more so in the past than current, but you take like X-Men and then you just jam some maybe meta stuff in there to try to help it out a little bit, and acknowledging like, yes, you're going to probably need some of these really strong minis to compete competitively, but I'll do it kind of my own way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, he takes a lot of pride in that, and that's respectable, but I have been down the road of I'm going to win with what I want to play, and then you come up short right at the end, and you're just like, never again.
Yeah, you made cut with the Convocation and Webwares, but then couldn't finish the deal, right? With the Bug Eater and what was the other event?
The
Texas one.
Yeah, I went to Lone Star. Open with Wizards, and I had Webwares at Bug Eater.
Yeah.
Those weren't the times I was thinking of. It was more like SoCal last year for me was definitely one. I was playing like She-Hulk A-Force with Enchantress and Medusa and stuff, and I lost to Sam Wilson in the finals. It was very frustrating.
I forgot about that. But, yep, Sam Wilson, he's a thing.
Yeah, so congrats to Sooner. He definitely in our channels is like, screw it, I'm just playing Malekith. Like, he's stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, for the audience, he had two rough losses at Lone Star Open and later at NashCon this year. So he's really hunting for that invite.
It is awesome, because hopefully that means he'll actually show up to LVO and more people to hang out with. So,
man, if this is the meta at LVO, I don't even know if I'm going to show up.
I get that. I'm hopeful. No. There's definitely, I'll just say I agree. But we're all hopeful things will change, right?
No, I'll go just to hang out with people at a minimum, but yeah.
I mean, I secretly just want to go to play Marvel Champions with you and using Gambit. So
everything else. Yeah, Gambit might be out by then.
Should be. Yeah, he should be. But, all right, we could talk about also, might as well throw out Pat's game as well. Pat went 6-0 in an event. When was this?
It was this weekend. It finished today, which is
yesterday and today. Wow. Yeah, because they're kind of in the Euro future, so.
Yeah.
That's great. So, yeah, he ended up going 6-0 playing basically Mono Cabal.
Also Malekith.
His second quote unquote motto Cabal win, because I don't remember the other event he was in, but I know he also went undefeated using a Cabal list. So he's going crazy with this. I kind of mentioned it. Actually, just reminded me, we should slightly like, we did record this week the finals of the TTS League, and one thing I had said to was it Lucas who was in the finals? Well, I guess I don't know. Should I say who won? I don't know. But Lucas was in the finals, and I told him how much of a compliment is it that you beat Pat in the cut, and then Pat basically turned around and played your list. And then that happened. When I said that to him, Pat had not played this Cabal tournament yet. And it's just funny because, like, apparently Patch is all in on this. Because
Patch just slaying everybody, apparently.
Yeah, two events, 2 weeks running Cabal, Mono Cabal, and not losing a game. So I guess Pat's having fun. And, you know, my first experience with Pat was back in season 2 when he played Cabal and I played Cabal. So I think on some level, Pat just enjoys Cabal. Actually reminded me, he's still playing MODOK. Man, that's funny. I do think MODOK with the free movement action is pretty slick.
It is pretty cool.
I'm curious, though. I'd love to talk to Pat about that. Like, I'd really want to hear from him. Like, what's going on with the MODOK? Like, because it can't be just, that's cool. Pat's better than that. You know, Pat has reasons. I would love to hear those reasons.
I actually think there's an episode of his podcast where he did talk about this list. It might have been one of the recent ones.
Yeah, I'll check it out. Yeah, do you remember him saying anything about MODOK or not really?
No, I haven't listened to it. I just have heard people talk that it was on his pod, I think. So,
mention it. He is part of our podcast family, which is Across the Bifrost, I think is the name.
Yes.
The website and all that.
It's the name of the website and his podcast.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'll go look for that because I would be curious. So, like, the thing is, I love MODOK since day one, but I just think they overly nerfed him. Pat is not playing MODOK's tactics card. And I have to think, since he's also playing, like, Juggernaut, which is another 5 threat, that MODOK is very specific for something that is just, I don't know, maybe Gamma, I don't know. But something Pat has in mind that I don't understand.
I mean, 15 Gamma, you can play Malekith, Mystique, and MODOK.
Yeah, I bet you that's it. Because like my fear with MODOK, and is Pat playing Brace? He's got Patch Up.
No, it's a Follow Me and Patch.
Follow Me. That's the thing. Like, in a world with size fours, like easily throwing other size fours and doing mean things, MODOK just dies. Think about MODOK's health too. I remember back in the day, 10 health was like so intimidating. But nowadays, 10 health just seems kind of like, okay.
Yeah, like, I feel like that 15 I just said, just MODOK is just going to get crunched by Hulk. Like,
yeah, like think about this. You throw a size 4 into MODOK. There's no brace. That's 5 damage. Now, and MODOK cannot reroll on throws. I know that because I've played a lot of MODOK. And let's be real. That's probably just 5 damage.
Yeah.
So that throw is basically half his health, and once MODOK gets there's no field dressing. There's, I mean, Patch Up's kind of sweet, honestly, but I don't know, man. It's tough. I just picture, like, because once MODOK gets onto that, is dazed, officially dazed. Like, he's pretty much done. That 4 health on the other side with no wild protection. I mean, come on, man. That's so weak. You know, that's like killing Wong at that point.
Yeah, kind of.
it's not great, but you know, Pryo is a big thing, and then MODOK is like not the consistency. Like back in the day, MODOK was like the pinnacle of consistency, but now you have like Malekith with the skulls and piercing and all that nastiness. You've got like more like Corvus dice, and I don't know, a lot of this consistency. I would be so nervous because I've had games where MODOK just goes like multiple turns where you can't even hit anything. So I don't know. It's crazy.
Plus his rerolls are like once per turn now, so you can't even like reroll on 2 attacks.
Yeah. I mean, the Mystic was cool when like everyone was running like, you know,
Black Panther.
Yeah, Steve. And that's just like less a thing now. Juggernaut is like scary when you know he's got so much health. Like literally just having that much health in itself is scary. But then, Juggernaut just also has like 5 defensive dice and -1 damage.
Right. Malekith himself also just destroys MODOK.
Yeah.
Pierce
still works too. Yeah, it does. You lose the hit, but you get the Pierce, and probably against MODOK, you're actually piercing something. So, since he'll probably reroll to try to save himself, I don't know. There's a lot of things. This is a little bit of an interesting pick.
And Hulk is just like a nightmare, probably.
Yeah, Hulk was a nightmare for old MODOK when Hulk sucked.
Yeah.
Now Hulk is so much better. And yeah, that's a whole other thing too. So I don't know. But good for Pat. He did great. He's just, you know, Malekith kicking butt. But I guess why don't we talk about your event? What was your event?
Yeah, so I've been wanting to visit my parents. I'm originally from Michigan, for those who are unfamiliar. So I did some research a few months ago looking if there was any events in Michigan. And there's a Michigan GT was this past weekend. They had a Marvel event. I signed up and went and I went 4-0 and won the event. It was really fun. The venue was super nice. It was in Lansing, which is like the capital of Michigan. Funny enough, I've never been to Lansing before. I ended up playing like I took like Magic Nick's Avengers roster and I kind of mixed it up a bit. I didn't love Gamma and I don't love some of his character choices. So I definitely was still like feel like it's weird. He doesn't have any heroes for hire going on. And so I basically just played like I played like Gwen, Black Cat, Steve, Voodoo, and like Luke Cage at 17 pretty much the whole day. And yeah, it's like if you just took like Web Warriors and just hyper accelerated them. It's kind of crazy. So like Gwen and just functions on one power all of a sudden. So there's like you can just do stuff like move, impact webbing, and then webline somebody and then still have Lifesaver online, or you can interact. You can also do things like move, webline for one, four dice builder them, move again. Like all this is like guaranteed.
I like that.
You also can like deploy Gwen straight in the middle and she has webline immediately online, or Lifesaver rather, immediately online to anyone that grabs Essential Extract for you.
Does that works on small base just as much as medium?
It works on all base sizes.
Oh my god.
So
why have I not known that?
Unless they have like Deception or Thanos or something. You can just park your guy there and Lifesaver them if they go into him.
That means it could work with Dormammu too. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. So, and then you also get like the Black Cat round one steal. So like, you don't really care about not having Pryo a lot of the time. You're like, sure, take it. I'll just take it back.
You know, same, advanced R&D kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And then you just have like a bunch of bodyguard stacks with Steve and Luke Cage and Heroes for Hire. So like Cat and Gwen just are way more protected than they normally are. And then Voodoo's just a freaking menace as normal. So, and yeah, he's just randomly affiliated.
Return Brother Daniel for one, because why not?
Yeah, that's just... But the most important thing for Voodoo is his throw goes down to two cost, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So, you talked me out of playing Steve at NashCon. So, I have to ask, like, how did Steve do? Like, himself, the character.
Oh, I played him in three of the four games. Three of the four games I played exactly what I was just describing. And then, yeah, Steve himself was, he's pretty good. Like, you definitely can, like, use him as a home base for, like, Black Cat, I find. So you can, like, move him and her up together. And then she can, like, move steel, move back. And then, like, next to him. So unless they have a way to, like, split them up, he can just take hits for her.
Yeah.
Or you can just do that with anyone. And otherwise, he just kind of parks himself somewhere, in my experience, and just chucks shields, and he can, like, fund R&D. And, I mean, dude, his shield throw at five dice is, like, kind of good.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's basically like Baby Medusa
stuff. Yeah.
And there's a lot of perks with it, you know, the no cover, no line of sight.
Yeah, plus he has like a wild size 3 push on his strike, and he has an auto throw on his 2-power spender. So in my experience, I just park him somewhere, and he just, like, chucks shields or just bullies people that are on his point to just, like, push him off.
Yeah, the measuring for bodyguard is also relevant in a world where deception is so popular. Did you run into much Mystique the other day?
No, I didn't play into Mystique at all, actually. It was, like, very honest MCP. I actually I felt a little bad, but bringing what I played, obviously I didn't know what people were going to be playing. But everyone was super great. I played against round one. I had, like, my opponent played Web Warriors, and then I played against Convocation, and then I played against a Wakanda, and then it was X-Men.
Wow, X-Men at the end, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I want to ask, I guess, did anyone have any comments about your list or how you're playing, or were people kind of just chill or not really caring? Or
Everyone was super chill. Maybe been like a couple, one or two offhanded comments about, oh, it's just Voodoo and Cat just doing what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's just, yeah. The reality. So, I got to ask about X-Men now, because this is the Danger Room. What is the X-Men guy up to?
He was playing Power Swan.
Oh.
He had, like, into me, he played Storm, Honey Badger, Rogue, Power Swan, and Black Cat.
Oh, I got to have Black Cat.
Yeah.
Did he do anything cool with the X-Men jump, or...?
Not particularly that I can tell. I think he was relatively new. He had a good run that day. He's a super nice guy. I mean, I was really thankful of a lot of the crisis spreads that I saw. I was like, didn't have to make super hard choices of like, oh no, am I playing on like demons, or am I going to get put on 14, or do I have to play on sword? Or any of this.
So you didn't see much demons or any at all?
No, I don't think any of my opponents had demons in their list.
Oh my gosh. That's like Christmas over there.
Yeah.
Everybody, let's move to Michigan.
I was like, what is this like this magical fairyland where everyone's so wholesome.
Oh man. I don't know if you said it here, but I know you told me earlier that you didn't play on any Plata flips.
No, I didn't. I have one in my list, but I never drew it. And I think one of my opponents had like a meet. I think the X-Men guy. Oh, I won Pry on him, so I took Secures. But yeah, I didn't. I think I played like two games on Extremis, one on Cosmic Invasion, and one on Scoundrels.
Man, I'm so jealous. I feel like that's such an ancient memory. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Whew. Imagine that, standing on Secures. Not praying to the RNG gods every time you roll for a Peta flip.
Oh, dude. Yeah, my Peta flip anxiety was not there. Even the rolling freaking 2 dice for single extract anxiety, not there.
Oh, that's amazing. I can't even imagine. I got to go back and listen to like our first episode or two of this podcast, because I vividly remember saying that I hate Peta flips and I refuse to play them. And now you look, oh, sweet summer child.
Oh, yeah, I mean, man.
Simpler times.
I've cut all but one pay to flip out of my list at this point. I'm just so sick of playing them. And I think I found a way. I mean, I've always loved playing on MAB D, and I'm just running all three of the D secures.
Yeah.
I feel like I can just win on those pretty easily a lot of the time. Plus, Malekith is like oddly good on MAB D. Just the same reason Black Order was always good on MAPD.
Yeah, and I've heard people talk about, I'm not going to get into it too much, but people talk about they think you should cut all according to plan from a Kingpin roster. And I'm just like, are you crazy? Like, it's like one of the best cards ever put into this game. Just taking Pryo from anyone, like even Black Order was horrified by the idea that you could just steal their Pryo, which was like their whole point of their roster, right? But then Malekith is just like a budget version of Corvus Proxima. He's faster, more mobile. Maybe the offense is a bit less, but it's a he can just destroy. And then you add in like all according to plan with Malekith and Kingpin. I don't know, man. To me, that sounds so sweet. Just knowing, having that confidence to know, no matter what happens in the turn, that you'll get proud of the next turn. That's just so empowering.
Right.
So yeah, and then you add in Map D. I agree. I think one of the biggest problems I found with playing Corvus Proxima with Kingpin was like their lack of mobility. You know, they're fine on Map B, not even great, but definitely fine. And then like Map D was like, you played Map D, especially Extremis with Kingpin, but it was a little like not in like, I think Juggernaut was just better because he is more mobile, tougher, and can push people and stuff. So it's a bit different style, but yeah, not with Malekith existing in the game, you definitely play all according to plan, in my opinion. And also, like he's also Corvus Proxima because he's just one mini.
So, yeah, and he's a threat cheaper.
Yeah, you're getting like literally he's Corvus Proxima, but like they play together with husband and wife, and then you can just play Malekith with. He basically doesn't need the husband and wife because you already get the one mini, you know?
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think that's pretty sweet, personally. And I love playing Map D also. So it's just kind of a perfect combo. I wonder what Pat was playing. Let's see what he was up to. He had Gamma, Fisk, and Terrigen. That's a thing. I still don't know how I feel about Fisk and Terrigen, personally.
I have an aversion to fighting on the midline, so... I'm good.
So it's funny that everyone's doing this because this was what I was going to do before NashCon, and then Mike and I played some games, and I just realized it's probably was like crazy talk. Because I just feel like if Kingpin can get enough bodies, he can just kind of win anyway on those. Especially, it depends a lot on the speed of the extracts, of course. But it just wasn't worth the risk in my mind. But people seem down for it, I guess. I honestly think part of it is people are just sick of Peta flips like we've just been talking about. I just think people want to do something different, personally.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe I'm just wrong. I do think...
I mean...
I personally played Fisk and Terrigen practicing before NashCon and cut them. And I was very excited to play those. I just found you can lose, and it's... can be a little awkward and a little dicey. Who goes last is an issue. That's a lot of any Kingpin stuff in general is who goes last.
Yeah, but, it depends on like how fast the extra. If you're playing into like Syndicate, right, like Kingpin with the Malekith list, and you play put one of these down, like Fisk or Terrigen.
Yeah,
yeah. You need. It depends on like the extra speed, I guess, and how fast Malekith can like chew through a side. Because unlike Black Order, they're not getting the KO VPs, which help them a lot on those scenarios. So Black Order would just flood all in a side, kill that side, and just move the other one inward. So by like round three, they could easily pivot to the other one. And they'd get,
yeah, also
they'd
think
get like
there's,
one or two KO VPs.
There's no way in hell that like Pat would be playing MODOK on Fisk. That's just not happening.
You know, or getting stunned on MODOK is horrible.
Yeah, it's like execution right there. You know, you have characters like Zemo hates to be stunned too, and he's playing Zemo. Cat probably doesn't like being stunned, but it's not as bad. But then I think Hood, Bullseye, and Mystique don't care as much.
Yeah, Juggernaut and Malekith are immune as well.
Yeah. And Hulk as well. He's not playing Hulk, though, which is interesting. I don't know. It's interesting to me. I'm not trying to say that if you play Fisk or Terrigen, you're wrong. But I still don't quite get it, personally. I think it is one of those things that, when I was thinking about it, it just seems cooler on paper. Because you're like, oh, these characters are like immune, and I'll just like win this fight, and then eventually like collapse on the other side. And that all makes sense. Like on paper, but like sometimes the dice just decide you're going to have a bad roll. Like as much as we praise Malekith, he does just have those like one hit rolls and you're like, oh,
I mean,
well, that's
dude,
not good.
My Malekith was like crap in the one game I played him at yesterday at that event. Like he only had one good attack at the end of the game, which was the best attack I've ever rolled. He was like very feast or famine, I found. Mm. It was like first attack, three hits into Iron Fist. three blocks, can't pierce him. I did nothing. And then I like went into Wong and I did 3 damage to Wong.
Sheesh. Wong couldn't even take out Wong.
Yeah, Wong lived on 1. I was like, oh, great. All right. And then I needed to like kill Strange in the last round, and I rolled 4 crits and a skull on my 7 dice attack. And yeah, Strange exploded.
Oof. Oh gosh. So Strange can do, this is the Sorcerer Supreme Strange?
Right? Yes.
Yeah, so he's got the cool like wild cancels a thing.
Yeah, but... yeah. He needed, I think my opponent was like, well, I'm gonna reroll and I need 3 wilds to not die. So
You know, you just reminded me, because you saw the finals. Like, man, there was some rolls in that finals game. I should just say, too, if anyone hasn't watched the TTS finals, it's actually on YouTube. It's the Danger Room podcast. Just look that up. Or look up, like, what is it, Lucas, or I think I put it as Mr. Schick. Or she,
yeah, something right? like that. Lucas.
And Schick. Then yeah. Magic Nick. Just put, like, Magic Nick, TTS Season 8. You can just search it. You'll find it. And our channel doesn't have that many videos currently. It's probably like 10. I think it was really, really fun to watch and commentate on, because we got the luxury of being the premium and one and only streamer of that game. I don't know how the hell we pulled that off, but we did it.
Collusion.
It was pure luck, honestly. They did like a little roll thing. We kind of like won the streamer lottery. But man, the dice in that game was so silly. There was multiple times where it was like, I don't know, I think it was like Mystique or something, where it's like roll 3 blocks and you're like, oh, that's awesome. And then Hulk did like 9 damage.
Yeah, dude, Hulk just came out of the gate like ready to just kill everything.
It's just so, I guess it depends which side of the coin you're on, but when you roll 9 hits and your opponent only has 3 dice and they have 6 health, it's just like, this doesn't even feel fair. Like, it was like such a feel, like it's just a helplessness feeling if you're the person playing the Mystique in that situation.
Yeah, you need like,
she's only at 5 health. Yeah, so
they need to convert to like not die.
If you're the guy rolling the attacks, it feels great. But if you're the guy on defense, you're just like, well, that sucks.
Yep.
Also, Even going back even to Magic Nick versus Morgan, when Luke Cage was getting like one shot, like Luke Cage is supposed to be like that one guy who doesn't get one shot. It's like the coolest part about Luke Cage, right? And that guy got one shot.
Dude.
I think he got one shot twice too, which is even crazier.
I've been on the receiving end of that. Freaking Jesse Eakin freaking one shot my Cage with X23. I was like, god damn.
X23 is also absurd. I remember one game where my only out to win was X23 getting 2 attacks into Juggernaut and from full health to death, taking him out. And I was like, well, I mean, it's X23. Anything could happen. And then she did like, I think 6 damage on her first attack. And then she finished him off on the second attack, and I was like, all right, X23.
Dude, she's a savage.
And at that point, Juggernaut was holding 3 hammers, so she just took them.
He's just the treasure goblin, just exploded.
Oh, I love X23 so much. But I don't know. We should probably hit our topic a little bit, huh?
Yeah, so we're going to talk a little bit about alternative formats for MCP. I know the community has been a little down on just like the state of the meta or whatever, and whether it's solved or not, or quote unquote solved, I guess. And we kind of got back to some talking about Battle Realms, which in the ancient times, Jacob did a invitational for Battle Realms.
Which I was in.
Yeah. I believe at the time that was mostly Jacob's idea was to stress test the format.
Well, the history of it was that Norbert wanted to put, he considered putting Battle Realms as the actual only format of the TTS League.
Gotcha.
And there was some people pushing it behind the scenes. And Norbert, being the guy he is, he just wanted to see what the community felt. He was just, it was almost like a, you know, a vote, a sense of things, whatever. And I think Jacob saw it as an opportunity to create kind of an interesting league to kind of see what would happen, you know, either to prove it was great or prove it wasn't great. And that, I think that was pretty much all of it. And yeah, they ended up having like a panel where it was debated afterwards, and I was very strongly against it, and I kind of still am. But yeah, I don't know anything about Battle Realms as like why AMG made it, because it's not like they really explained it, you know, just like, hey, here's this format, which if you guys don't know what Battle Realms is, it's on their website. It's under rules, I believe. And it's, you got to go all the way to the bottom of the page, and it's got Battle Realms and the other one. What's the other one called?
Collector.
I think. Collector. Yeah. And they got a little rules page, and it's got like a cool little priority chart and stuff. And someone put some thought into this, is all I'm going to say. Like, whether it's right or wrong, it's not, you know, for it, the fact that someone put some thought into this, I do respect that.
Yeah. So, I mean, Battle Realms is when I first saw Battle Realms, I immediately thought of like a banning draft from like Dota.
Yeah,
MOBAs. Or any MOBA game, right? And that format came into existence in those games because there would be, let's say, like a new hero or character comes out and it's like perceived imbalanced for whatever reason. Well, this format gives the community a way to just not play with that character. And then you just let the community handle it that way. That way the stress is like not offloaded to the devs to like address it for like the integrity of the game. And it gives you some agency into like what's the word I'm looking for? It gives you some agency into controlling what your opponent can bring, I guess you could say. Like, you could always like ban characters that someone is like really good with, for example, or something, and it kind of levels the playing field more. And I think that's what this Battle Realms format was trying to accomplish. My one big problem, the one big departure I see between like the way Dota or MOBAs do it and the way Battle Realms works is Battle Realms, each player is allowed to pick, it's like one, at least one, maybe two characters before any bans happen. If I'm not mistaken.
Well, right. Battle Realms is pick one character, then ban.
Okay, yeah. So both players have like a 15 character roster, and then you each pick one from your roster that will be in your
Yeah, the idea is you usually field. Pick your leader, or they can't ban your leader. Is correct. Mostly the purpose.
Right. That on paper, like the naive thought is, yeah, let's just do that, and that way you never have your leader banned, right? Because that's like the foundation of your team.
I mean, it's also super awkward when the leader's just the best
character. Yeah, when your leader's the broken character.
I don't know, like Sam Wilson or Malekith. I don't know, I'm just throwing some names out there. It could be anybody, but
yeah.
I mean, you could even argue Kingpin.
Like, in my opinion, for something like Battle Realms to function, you would need to have the bans happen first. And you would, as a player, your list would have to be flexible enough to still function, having a leader get banned. And I just don't think but I think the perception is that the community wouldn't like that for whatever reason, because there's a chance that they would never be able to play with a particular toy, if you will.
I mean, I've played multiple MOBAs, and I actually play a mobile game with my kids called Brawl Stars, and we do like a league thing with my kids every week, and it has three bans before you play or can pick characters, and then you only, it's 3v3, the game is 3v3, so it's like three bans, and then you pick, like, you know, first person, then they pick one person, you know, that kind of thing, you know, or it's like two, then one, that kind of idea. The problem is these games don't have leaders,
right?
You know, So I do think, like, even as you're explaining this, I'm just thinking in my head, like, this is never going to work. I hate to sound so negative, but the game is based on leaders. So, like, you can't, if you ban a leader, it kind of like destroys the whole point of the game. Like, because, like it or not, and I think AMG wants you to pick a leader. And, like, I don't know, it's kind of like how the whole game works. Playing without a leadership just feels so weird to me. And so I do think, like, people would be annoyed if you ban their leader. And if, like, I have a leader, maybe, I don't know, man, maybe you make a format where, like, there just is no leaderships, and maybe that just changes battle realms. Maybe that's just the future, and not like a permanent thing. Like, I don't think battle realms should replace the current game, but maybe you just accept that, like, there is just no leaderships, and then change the whole thing from there, you know? Maybe that would be more interesting. At least then you could do what I said, you know, like in the game I was saying, you ban three characters, then you pick characters, I don't know, something like that. And then just accept that leaderships just don't exist. I don't know. Maybe that could be cool. I don't have no idea.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like leaderships are like a fundamental part of the game, you know?
Yeah, I'm just trying to be open-minded here.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe we all are a little too married to that idea. Like honestly, I don't know. Maybe we are a little too obsessed with leaderships. And, like, the game was designed that way. And I enjoy leaderships. To me, I also think the leaderships are just, like, the coolest part of the game. Like, when I pick Storm's leadership, I feel like that's really cool. You were having fun playing Steve's leadership. I mean, whether we think that's overpowered or whatever, that's not the point, right? The leadership is fun, and it changes the way the game is played. It makes the character feel different than normal, right? The things you could do, the things you can't do.
Mm-hmm.
But then if we do feel so strongly that we can't play this game without leaderships, then probably, in my opinion, Battle Realms is kind of doomed to fail. Because if you do just pick your favorite leader... So here's the thing. My biggest argument of why I thought Battle Realms was a mistake was... the game just turns into, like, good versus evil, which is basically, like, Avengers versus Cabal. Now, funny enough, I said that, like, a year ago, probably even, like, a year and a half to 2 years ago. And look at the game now. It's kind of a tangent we have never really brought up on air, but I'm starting to think that actually AMG needs to do something about the size of affiliations. Like, whether it's lore or whatever, fine, but I think... we're getting to a critical mass where, like, affiliations with, like, 20 characters, it's just getting a little crazy. Like, you just played Avengers in one this week, and we just listed some Cabal lists. Part of the root of the problem... So, I actually think, even when SamSpan blew up a year ago, Avengers were always busted, but, like, Steve was kind of holding them back. As soon as you gave Avengers a good leadership, it's like, all of a sudden, they're off to the races. And... you know, people try to defend Red Skull, but I think Red Skull's a little undertuned. And he was holding Cabal back, and then boom, Malekith showed up. All of a sudden, Cabal is like this toy that no one got to play with. You know, and everyone's loving playing, you know, Mystique and Red Skull and whatever, you know, not craziness that is Cabal. Even just playing Dark Reign again, you know, I feel like Dark Reign got reprinted. It was like, where did that card go? And all of a sudden now, it's like everyone's playing Dark Reign, you know?
I mean, at least in MCP, if you're an affiliation and you're like, when your affiliation is put into existence, if your foundation is like shaky or not amazing, you're just not going to be that good. And like, that's like, I still feel this way about X-Men, right? Like,
so yeah, when Battle Realms was announced, I was huge in X-Men. So were you. And we basically had bare bones X-Men core, right? It was basically like Domino, Beast.
And Storm, yeah.
Yeah, Domino, Beast, Storm. I'm trying to think if there was another character. There literally wasn't.
No.
It was literally Domino, Beast, the end. There wasn't even a fourth threat back then, dude. There was no Rogue.
Yeah, it was just Cyclops and Wolverine who were a joke.
So. Yeah, like, whatever, right? So when Battle Realms was announced, I immediately thought, okay, I'll play Battle Realms, but I'm going to play X-Men. But then it's just not fair. Because it's like, okay, you ban, like, Domino or Beast. And you can't ban Storm, because I'll pick Storm first, right? But then you just kind of ruined my core. And I had no plan B. Yep. There was no other character, you know? So it's not only that some affiliations are kind of bloated and become like almost like tier lists within themselves, but you also have just other teams that just can't even play it correctly. It just seems like one person's super rich and the other person's super poor. And there's this huge gap in the middle.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't feel like AMG views the game that way. I do feel like they think that just like the existence of the character is enough. Like the power level is not that important, you know? Mm. Like, I don't know. Like defenders and have like almost the same amount of characters, if not the same, as Avengers. They have like a shaky leadership and no tactics cards. But like, yeah. You see, Avengers like really only have one tactics card. It just happens to be one of the best in the game. They also just have two insane leaderships. You know? So,
yeah.
Like, the difference is not that big. So, between like Avengers and Defenders, for example.
Yeah, isn't that funny though? But you wouldn't catch me dead playing defenders because their leadership basically doesn't exist to me. And like you said, there's no tactics cards, so it's like why you're basically playing like unaffiliated at that point.
Yeah, I mean, what? Like defenders have a great affiliated roster. Like they have a lot of like dud characters as well, but they have some really good ones. You know, like I mean, you have Strange and Hulk, you have Valkyrie, you've got. Moon Knight is good. I'd have to pull up the list.
Some yeah, Iron Hawkeye Fist and Cage. Or...
Iron Fist and Cage, yeah.
Yeah. I always feel like Okoye is affiliated, but I think that everyone just played Okoye in there.
Yeah, no, she's not.
Yeah. The thing is, like, let's not downplay having a good team tactics card either, because you only get five that you can bring, right? So that's one-fifth of your tactics cards, and that's generally, team tactics cards tend to be way above curve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like people, I don't know, I guess I'm not going to go down that road, but let's just say there are some very good tactics cards out there. You know, like Dark Reign is a game changer. Avengers Assemble, super insane. Wakanda Forever, you know, and then you just don't get one of those. Feels kind of not fair, you know?
Yep.
So that is a topic that we should think about, but like what is so great about leaderships and all that? But clearly there's something to it. Clearly, you know?
Yeah.
It's funny though, like, cause they're not massive in, at least on paper, massive differences on affiliated versus affiliated, but it clearly exists and it's clearly a thing. I don't know. That's fascinating, but anyway, I think Battle Realms is just that, and I think history just keeps proving me right, really, because even the normal game is kind of getting to that point. The reason that Battle Realms was more of an issue back a year ago was because obviously you can then ban characters to mess up someone's affiliation. In fact, there was a Battle Realms like actual event that happened. I believe it was a lot of Australians. Might have even been all Australians, but I don't know. But I remember listening to the like sort of battle reports of the games. And basically it just came down to, we're playing at this threat. If I ban these characters, then his affiliated team kind of sucks. That's basically like was the strategy.
Right.
But nowadays, I feel like some of these affiliations are so insane. Like, for example, let's just take, like, Cabal, right? You take Malekith, they ban, let's say, Mystique, which is probably not a bad idea, right? But you could just take Baron Zemo, it's not that much worse. I mean, sure, you don't get Deception, but you're still getting a long mover, you know, strong member of Cabal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, you grab, like, Bullseye or something, and then maybe they ban Bullseye, but then you can just go, like, Mystique, you know, Zemo, and then just grab good unaffiliated characters. The point is, I don't feel like there's any way you're going to hit them that's going to, like, cripple them too badly. And, you know, in Battle Realm, that was another thing about Battle Realm that was kind of nuts, is you'd have to have like 3-2s or something, because you had to make sure people couldn't just ban you out of 2 threats. And a lot of the games where I remember Morgan did really well, a lot of these games were him like banning people's 2 threats when they only brought like 1 or 2 2-threats, and then it completely like janked up their turret team.
Right.
So you got to make sure to have a lot of 2s, but I mean, with Toad, Bullseye, and probably like Widow, you probably like just everyone starts taking those, you know?
Yeah, I could definitely see like a meta evolving around the list building for Battle Realms, and it getting to a point where we're all just like annoyed by how many roster slots we have to dedicate to redundancy.
Right. I'm just going to be honest with you. I think it would end up being Steve Rogers, Sam versus Kingpin and Cabal.
Yeah.
And hilarious coincidence that we just mentioned basically 2 Cabal rosters winning tournaments this past weekend. I feel like history, I feel like we're already playing Battle Realms. We just don't know it.
Yeah.
And then what happens to like the teams that are already not doing great in the meta right now, like Web Warriors, X-Men, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think Shield would probably be fine. But
Shield has a big ass affiliation at this
point. Yeah, I think Shield would actually, I was going to say Shield, but no, Shield's probably doing just fine. Honestly, I'm struggling to think of who else exists in this game competitively right now that isn't just X-Men, Web Warriors, and the obvious ones I mentioned.
I mean, like Wakanda.
Sure. Wakanda with like their like 4 affiliated characters, and some aren't even that good.
Yeah, I think Brotherhood with Magneto struggles.
True. You can kind of sneak Brotherhood because they're basically Cabal for some reason.
Yeah.
So they can get away with it, but I do think if you like first pick Magneto, I mean, that's already kind of sus when like you could just first pick Malekith or something, but they could just mess with you by like banning Toad or something.
Right.
So one thing that I think people did love about Battle Realms is you had infinite tactics cards, at least to bring with you. I think that's kind of neat, and it got people more open-minded about tactics cards. Sacrifice was actually kind of popular in Battle Realms, which is funny now because it's so popular it got restricted in regular game.
Yes.
But it was considered a big deal that everyone was playing Sacrifice back then, I remember. It wasn't so popular.
Yeah, no, I feel like Sacrifice didn't take off until the community was forced to find ways to deal with Black Order.
Yeah.
What I was going to say, I also, like, another observation. For some reason, a lot of the villains in MCP have, they all kind of share, like, their affiliations cross-pollinate so much, well, or more, I guess.
Villains?
Than the good guys, yeah.
It didn't start that way, because remember, like, there was the whole Thor, Panther, Steve sort of thing?
I mean, they're all Avengers.
A-Force was also in Avengers.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I feel that way because A-Force, well, not so much A-Force, but Defenders just being a non-affiliation.
Yeah, if Defenders were even, like, medium tier or slightly, like, say, B-plus or something, you probably wouldn't even be thinking that.
Yeah, that's probably. Defenders being nothing is kind of holding things back, I think.
And even Midnight Suns a little bit, right? I mean, and then even Convocation. Actually, there's a lot of cross-pollination. Because if you include... Blade is, like, a Defender and, I think, he's an Avenger.
He is, yeah.
And then, like, Voodoo is an Avenger, Midnight Suns, and Convocation.
Right.
And so, like, there is a lot of good guy pollination. It's just... A lot of these teams are just kind of, like, falling out of, like, love. I even was surprised to see Magic as a Defender. And Ancient One's a Defender.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Defenders connect with everybody. It's just...
Yeah.
They're Defenders.
They just have nothing. Yeah, I would love to see... Yeah, I feel like Defenders need to be... They need to get some love, and the game would open up a lot for list building. Because, I mean, Defenders have Affiliated Hulk. Like,
right. Yeah, no, it is kind of weird with Defenders. And then S.H.I.E.L.D. is new, but they connect with a lot of Avengers.
Yeah, they do.
So, man, I don't know. I'm not feeling bad for the good guys, to be honest with you. But it's like I said, the game just becomes like good guys versus bad guys. And maybe that's your jam. But I feel like, I don't know. I like the I like teams that aren't like the Avengers and the Cabal, you know? Right. And it's obvious at this point. But I like playing like, I mean, and man, if only Dormammu was better too, actually, because Dormammu could rip up this format too. But Dormammu's a bit undertuned at this point. But anyway, I don't know. I like playing Syndicate because they're like kind of the like business suit bad guys. They're a little, I don't know, whatever. I don't know. I think the villains are cool, but it's kind of boring to just be like the evil Nazi take over the world guys. And then, you know, I just don't enjoy the good guys at all, really. Other than like Web Warriors, really. Web Warriors are the only exception, really, for me.
X-Men.
No, obviously X-Men. I didn't mention that because I feel like that's so obvious by now. But yeah, I mean, if I had my way, I would just play X-Men all the time, every time. You know, but that's boring and obvious. And even with all X-Men's expanded roster, I feel like they'd not be well off in this. Maybe give it another year and I might change that. You know, give us some more four threats, maybe another good three, maybe a good two, and I'm gonna change my tune.
Dude, I feel like X-Men are just dying for like an awesome five.
That too.
Gene and Cable are just like,
please do not pull me down that road. They're just, ugh, don't even start with me. This guy in the X-Men fan server, he said the funniest damn thing. Everyone was like, what about Gene? The guy goes, Gene's an awesome four threat. And I was like thinking about it. I was like, oh my God. If Gene was four, I'd actually still not even be convinced I'd play her.
Yeah, I mean, at four threat, she's still like worse than Enchantress in some ways.
Yeah. Like, she has a high health pool, especially, I think, on her flip side, she has, like, 8 health or something.
It's just 7, but, like...
7? It feels high.
Yeah, she definitely has, like, overtuned health for a 4 threat. So, like, if you tune the health back and just, like, kept everything else the same, I mean, she's probably okay at 4.
No, I'd be greedy. Amazing. No way. I'd say keep the health pool. Because nowadays, in my opinion, if you don't have, like, indestructible or something like it... It's like you just die in this game. I don't know. Do you agree? Like,
yeah, it's hard to like have consistency unless you're able to divert attacks or have like hyper durability.
She's got 3 physical defense, which is basically paper in this game, and it's like 6 health is a normal 4 threat. And if you give her 7, is that so egregious? Like, look at Wolverine with his 7 health. I think that's actually, like, one of the cooler parts about Wolverine. But I never in my mind think, oh, Wolverine, the durable super character. I just think he's, like, slightly less squishy than normal.
Yeah.
And she's got... Wolverine's got 4 physical. She's only got 3. So, like, I don't know. I think the 7 health would be fine. I think it makes up for the fact that she's kind of... not got the greatest attacks, and she has no action economy at all.
Personally, I feel like Jean kind of died for MODOK's sins.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
She was probably designed around the time MODOK was a terror. And you can tell, because like, she has 1 less die in her builder, even though they have the same builder otherwise. And her bow is just like, it's some weird non-bow that has a bunch of hoops to jump through, and it's just like
is a push for some reason.
Yeah, like none of it functions really.
And costs more.
Yeah.
It's like a worse bow that costs more. But works like on range, teammates.
And it's like range 2.
Like being a push has so many layers. You have to
be activated too.
Oh right. Oh you're right. You can't even do it on unactivated things. Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
it's just a brutally worse bow.
Yeah, it's not good.
Okay, well, we should stop talking about why Gene's
enough,
terrible.
Enough of Gene.
but yeah, no, final thoughts on Battle Realm? Do you think it has any hope or?
It's like in the AMG proposed like rules. I think it has issues in the fact that there aren't bans first, but otherwise, I think if the community wanted to, I mean, you could also just like add character slots to it. Like maybe 15 is not enough. Then you increase flexibility, and like banning any one particular thing is a lot less impactful.
I'm trying to think of and be optimistic and think of a way that this is good, and I'm just drawing a blank because, like, I do think if you do like bans early first and then add more characters to the total roster, but like, what stops me from just running more villains and good guys, and then you know, you just play like. I don't know, like Panther, Steve, Sam, and then just like a billion good guys. And that's just a lazy example, but you know, it could be a thing. And right. And then what the guy that wants to play X-Men, you just ban Storm. And then like, what's X-Men going to combo with? X-Force?
Well, yeah. So the thing about this format is you can't, as a player, you can't be attached to any one particular team or affiliation. You have to be flexible in what you have picked and what got banned.
Yeah, I just think it's kind of not thoughtful to like say to people like, oh, just don't be married to that affiliation.
Yeah. It's not a fair thing to ask.
Yeah, like if X-Men had like 30 characters to choose from, then maybe I'm a little more open to that concept, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the reality we're in right now. Maybe eventually, but that sounds like something that's like 2 years away. And even then, I still picture in the future, it's going to be like Avengers Cabal, lots of X-Men, and then like medium amounts of like Web Warriors and whatever. Maybe there probably would be a lot of Brotherhood too. But Brotherhood for some reason cheats and gets to hang out with Cabal, but like, maybe the problem is the Avengers and X-Men are also not great characters, which kind of puts stress on it. Because if Wolverine was an Avenger and a Defender and was just a really good character, then maybe there's something there, right? And even look at Cable. He's an Avenger, but he's just not a great character. It's maybe not even AMG's fault. Like, they actually put the pieces there. They're like, oh, yeah, here, Avenger, Wolverine, Avenger... you know, Cable, but this is like, ugh, I don't want to play those characters. Not competitively, anyway.
Yeah, if Wolverine was, like, awesome, and Defenders, like, had a good leadership and a card, maybe.
Yeah, then maybe I have a different opinion.
Up, like, a ton of stuff, you know?
Yeah, and then imagine Cyclops is good, and then you could just, like, have his leadership or play him under Steve or something.
Right,
yeah. Like, there you go. So yeah, maybe, I don't know, maybe some of the issue is just the balance hasn't kind of worked out the way it maybe could have.
This is why, like, if AMG was willing to go back and, like, tweak this stuff, it could be, like, so helpful to the game. And I think a lot of people would be excited.
Yeah, the MOBAs change characters, like, weekly. And you gave an example, I played those MOBAs too, lots of them. And that's every time, even the game I was mentioning that, Brawl Stars, that game balances every few months, or not a few months, but like about every month. And a new character comes out every month or two. And so what ends up happening is the new character gets banned for like a month, and then they balance change the character, and then everybody spans the next new character. And that's literally, right? That's how MOBAs work too, right?
Typically, it's just, yeah.
Yeah, ban. Or they'll, like, overly buff a character, so that character just gets banned for, like, a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll nerf it, and then no one will ban it anymore, and they'll ban something else. So the community kind of polices itself in that way. But right. It's with the idea that developers are going to get involved and fix it too, right? So everybody's happy. We're not getting that right now AMG. No.
Part of me just feels like AMG just... expects the community to create like basically create games with your opponent where you share the same value system. And if you go outside that system, like, you if you have like a value mismatch with your opponent, then that's on you and not on the developers. That's kind of how I feel AMG's stance is at this point.
That's actually an amazing segue into the format I want to do, but let's talk about Dizzard's format real quick.
Cool. Yeah, so Dizzard is also running a alternative format just to mix things up. He has they're running extended rules, so there's no ban list.
Oh gosh.
That
may be a little too much Wild West for me, but
yeah, it's Battle Realms with no it's Battle Realms in extended, and then all of the damage that your characters take carries over to the next game. So like your character's never full heal between games. Like if they're injured, they're injured. If they're KO'd, they're just done for like the rest of the event, unless you can like resurrect them with Dormammu or something.
Like, but if you have like 4 damage healthy side Gwen, you gonna take her for your next game?
Ooh. I don't know. I mean, this is why Jacob's list is like Dormammu, Hood, Hulk, Black Order, Ghost Rider, Ultron, Hood, Strange.
Yeah, so just all healing and resurrection.
Yep.
you bring like your one health Wong and you just eat him with like Ghost Rider or something.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Or yeah, you take your Ghost Spider who's like on the brink, right? She just dies and then Dormammu brings her back like 2 turns later.
Yep.
And really just for the next round.
Yeah, exactly.
Hold on, you can't concede. I have to resurrect somebody.
That begs a good question. Could you field a KO'd model? Like if it was KO'd in the previous game, can you field it in the next game with the intent to resurrect them with Dormammu?
Oh, I wish, but that's a question for Dizzard.
And you'd basically be playing like 3 threat down until you can play Dark Resto.
I don't have much to say about the format. It sounds a little crazy town. I mean, if it's meant to be played in such a way that everyone's playing like Ghost Rider, Dormammu and stuff, like that sounds kind of cool, I guess. I will say a format like this and even Dizzard's format, there is some like fun to it of trying to kind of investigate the break the game sort of thing. That sounds negative, but it's not meant to be. But, you know, there's this like trying to hunt throughout the game and find like weird interactions that make it like they're only powerful in this format, but maybe wouldn't be otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
New puzzles to solve, as we talked about even last week. So I think that's fun. For me, this sounds like such a throwaway, like goofball thing.
Yeah, maybe, I think that's all it's meant to be. Just something fun and different. That's good.
Yeah, and maybe I'm not trying to insinuate that it's like supposed to be some big league event or something, but I could see like as a game night. I feel like though one dude's gonna show up with all the crazy resurrection stuff, and some other guy's gonna just show up with like a regular list and be thinking, "Oh no, I brought a knife to a gunfight." You know, maybe he didn't put the thought enough into it to realize that like people are gonna play like that. But it's certainly interesting.
I mean, Ryan Farmer is like, my only goal is to fearful symmetry. Somebody's Spider-Man.
that's the one where with
he turns
Kraven.
Kraven turns into Spider-Man.
And then you gotta do it back to the other Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like what happened if you kill Peter Parker with Kraven and you turn into Peter Parker? Are you Peter Parker for the rest of the event? And then
and then another Kraven can kill that Kraven, and then he becomes Peter Parker.
Yes,
that's so silly, and then messes up all your affiliation. Like,
yes,
no longer, you know, foe.
Yeah.
Oh my god. People messed up. That sounds fun, though. That does sound fun. I have not done it, but at some point, because I actually painted my Kraven, I still haven't. I like need to set up a casual game where I purposely am playing Symmetry and playing against Spider-Man. I need to do that. Because that sounds like a good time.
Craven's a great model. He doesn't get enough love.
I agree.
He also just doesn't have a ton of homes, and
yeah,
his other home that isn't Foes is freaking Syndicate, where he's got to deal with Hood and Black Cat. So
I had Craven in my season 8 roster, and then they changed the rules, and I took it out.
Yeah. But
for that hot minute, it was a thing, and it would have been cool. But I'm good with the desert format. Like, would I just mention mine now, or do you have anything else you
want to say? Yeah, yeah. Nope. Go for it.
Yeah, I just playfully call it the Thanos Snap League, which isn't actually a thing that I've created because I'm not that guy. I'm not the organizer personality. I've busy life. But basically, Thanos Snap is just a cute way of saying banned characters. I get the idea, and I've come from many game systems where when people hear a new format, they get defensive and mad and say, this is a bad idea for the game, and like it divides the community and like all this stuff. And I never am trying to say we should replace Standard. But I do think, I don't know, that I think to create new puzzles and keep people invested and maybe do something interesting, even if it's for a few months, I would be down for trying like a ban league, which basically, I'll just say it to be concise and to be clear with what I'm saying. I'd ban Malekith. I really want to ban Hulk, to be quite honest with you, but I'm open to being argued with that. Ban Juggernaut, ban Voodoo, ban Black Cat. And I'm sure I'm missing something, but basically just Kingpin. Thank you. I was literally about to say it. I just want to try playing the game without those characters existing and see what would happen. That's really, truly all I would want out of this. Like for me personally, as I mentioned last week, I love solving puzzles. I just want to feel what that would be like. I think even just for a month or two, that would be like a nice cleanse for me personally. Just even the fact that Kingpin wouldn't be in the format just to play more like regular non-pay-to-flip games, I would just love to experience that. I feel so scarred by like, you know, not playing. I used to love playing Extremis and Infinity. Like I just feel like I haven't played those in so long. And, you know, whatever. I don't know. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, the prospect of, like, having a new, like, ecosystem to, like, build for, where there's a lot of, like, stressors are just removed, sounds really fun. I'm sure we would just discover whatever the new dumb thing would be, but at least it's undiscovered for now, you know?
Yeah, and that's part of the science experiment of it, yeah. Is... would that happen, or would we all just enjoy the game? And maybe we would enjoy the game, say, for 4 months, and then on the fifth month, somebody finally breaks it. You know, like, oh, I found, like, the new hotness that maybe went under the radar, you know, mm-hmm. for so long. Also, I just remembered, too, hilariously, in the Thanos Snap League would also snap Thanos. He did, you know, ritual... you know, Japanese was a seppuku. He took himself down too. He knew he was the problem all along. He's too inevitable for us. But yeah, no, I would snap Thanos as well. And especially since Black Order now has like a new leader, I don't even feel guilty about saying that. But anyway, yeah, it'd be an experiment even for the community, I think, to see where we would end up. And to either prove or disprove the theory that we would just break the game in another way. I think Shadowlands Daredevil would be really strong. I think X-Men would be strong. I think Guardians would be strong. I don't know, but I think S.H.I.E.L.D. could be better, maybe. So I don't know. I don't have a lot more to say other than I think it would be a cool thing to try. And even if it was just like a side gig league and something somebody could put together... I've had this discussion with you before. We talked about this, and I know you could theoretically ban more things like secures, objectives, things like that. But I think I'd rather not do that, only because the more you ban things, the more complicated and less user-friendly things get. And let's be honest, like, AMG's super open to changing everything in this game except for characters. I know they made a character pack, but they said that was a one-time deal and they'll never do it again. We have to take them at their word at this point. So, sure, they did change characters, but probably hypothetically never see that again. So we have to take things in our own hands for now with the characters. And I think we should leave the objectives alone right now. Also, just the more things you change, the more things get weird. And it's harder just to articulate to a random person, like, well, yeah, you can't play like 8 characters, 2 objectives, and 1 tactics card. It's like, what? It's just a little bit too much, I think, personally. Mm-hmm. Even though we could sit here and we could easily point fingers at objectives, like, I mean, easily. But I'd rather not do that personally. And I am hoping also that AMG is up to something, because I feel like they're, like, at this point deliberately not giving us objectives. And there's no way in hell that they feel like all of a sudden we're happy with the objectives we have. And I even feel like in an interview they said something about, like, I know for sure that I think Pagani recently said just making objectives is really hard.
Yeah, they've said that in the past.
Yeah, I don't think they gave up. You know, I just think maybe they have a new plan. It could be literally anything. I have no idea. Maybe like a objective pack, which would be cool if they did that, because then it wouldn't force people to buy things that they don't want to buy. Like, I bought Ghost Rider. Granted, I don't feel as bad now about doing that, but I sure did when I did it. You know,
buying Hulk for Gamma was a nightmare forever.
Yeah, and that's why my Hulk looks so ugly. At the time, I didn't think I'd ever play him. So, anyway, they'll hopefully fix objectives, and then if they did that, but then didn't change characters, then maybe by banning characters, it'd be kind of cool. I don't know. I don't have a lot more to say on that other than I would love to be involved in it.
Yeah, it would just be something fresh.
People with opinions, share on Discord how you feel about things and let us know if we're crazy people or not. But yeah, I think we'll see you next time in the Danger Room.
Thanks for taking the time to listen to our thoughts on the game. As the game changes, the information in this episode may become less relevant, so bear that in mind if you're listening from the future. We also want to thank Discount Games Inc. and Blackgate Games. If you don't have a local game store and they can't get what you're looking for, check out those guys. They'll sort you out. Finally, a big thank you to Atomic Mass Games for making such an awesome game. We'll see you next time in the Danger Room.